Good evening, and it's a great joy to be here with you. Bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters at Harvest Church, and congratulations to you on the Lord's great blessing of this building, and looking forward to just opening God's Word with you tonight. I'm going to be looking, reading from Exodus chapter 15, as we'll read the first three verses and then go to verse 11. This, of course, Exodus 15 is written when the Israelites see God's greatness and goodness in the destruction of Pharaoh's army, and they sing, they celebrate as they see the goodness of God for them. Let's give our attention then to God's Word, Exodus chapter 15. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And then from verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you that you are a God of wonders, a God who has accomplished great things for your glory and for our blessing. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us now as we spend some time in your word and just recounting your goodness to us. And we pray that your spirit would accompany the preaching of the word, that we might see you and love our Lord Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we're gathered together here tonight to give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful kindness to the congregation here at Community OPC. God has blessed you with a really precious, beautiful gift. Community OPC did not come into this building by accident, did not come into this building by Pastor Jonathan's ingenuity, although that was used by the Lord, did not come into this building simply by the generosity of Grace Harbor, although that was certainly a great, great gift that God provided. But Community Presbyterian came to this building by the providence of God, by the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the blessing of God. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. And it is good to thank God for all of them, for the clothes on our back, the jobs that the Lord provides, the health that he gives, the relationships that bless our lives. All those things are gifts, and we should thank God for them. But there are some gifts that are particularly noteworthy. They are unique in their blessedness. Some gifts are conspicuous in the unusual circumstances that accompany them, the great benefit that comes along with them. And those gifts should be particularly noted and celebrated as we're doing this evening. These gifts reveal in a special way the goodness of God, and that is what I'd like us to think about tonight, the goodness of God, the character of God revealed. One of the things that we see in Exodus chapter 15, here we have this song of Moses and the people as they celebrate the great victory of God over Pharaoh and his army. The greatest military power of the day was rushing toward them, and God's people were utterly helpless. To all human appearance, were certainly doomed. There was no escape. But God intervened with his saving power, and as you know the story, God opened a way through the Red Sea so the Israelites could go through as on dry ground. And then when they were safely on the other side and Pharaoh's army comes thundering through that same path, God brings the waters crashing down on their heads. And in one cataclysmic, devastating, exhilarating moment, Pharaoh's mighty army is completely destroyed and Israel is completely set free. Pharaoh has not suffered a minor setback. His military might has been broken and Israel is finally free, fully free. And so they sang, as we read in verse 15, then Moses and the people of Israel sang. Then, after they had seen the great salvation of God, and they sang, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Now, if you notice, this is not just a song about what God has accomplished, but it's a song about what God is like. God's people are invited not only to marvel in God's works, but to marvel in what those works tell us about God himself, about who he is and what he's like. Israel's great deliverance from Egypt is significant, not just because they're free. It's significant because the window it provides into the character of their God. A God they did not know that well. They had not been taught well while in Egypt. And we're going to see that as they wander through the wilderness. There's much they need to learn about God. But there's a window opened in this amazing act of deliverance that allows them to see the character of God, the God who had claimed them. And Moses picks up that theme specifically in verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders. You see, as Moses and the Israelites stood there on the bank of the Red Sea, looking upon the dead bodies and the horses of Pharaoh's army, they're also seeing the truth about God. They see with fresh eyes, and maybe for the first time, the profound, incredible reality of this God. He is majestic in his holiness. He is awesome in glorious deeds. He is a God who does wonders. And he is utterly and completely unique in this. There's no other God who is like our God. Who is like our God? No one. Absolutely no one. This great act of redemption was an act of revelation. It was a brilliant, irrefutable, manifest testimony to the truth not only of God's ability, but the truth of his character, what he's like, what he's like specifically for his people. That this is a majestic God in his holiness. This is an awesome God in his deeds. This is a wonder-working God, and he's utterly alone. There is none like him. And that's a theme you'll find throughout Scripture. As Psalm 77, the psalmist picks up that theme. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. God works wonders as a way of making himself known. He's speaking in the wonder. And we see that, of course, in the plagues of Egypt and the deliverance by the Red Sea, that God is testifying both to his own glory, what he's like, and testifying to the veracity of Moses, his messenger. If you read the last verse in chapter 14, we read this, Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So, here's the conclusions they drew. So the people feared the Lord. They came to understand that this God is worthy of worship and worthy of obedience. They feared him, this majestic God. That's the first conclusion. They believed in the Lord. They realized that this is a God who fulfills his word. This is a God who does what he says he's going to do. This is a God who is worthy of their trust, worthy of their love and their fidelity. And then thirdly, they believed in his servant Moses. They were able to grasp that Moses was uniquely chosen as God's messenger, God's servant to lead them, and they believed him. Now that belief, as you read the story of Exodus, that wavers and some protest. But in this moment, God is attesting both to his character and to his messenger and the message that he speaks. And you find throughout the Bible that that's really that's God's purpose in the wonders that he performs, whether they be miracles or just great acts of blessing. God is working through the scripture to testify to what he's like and the veracity of his messengers. If you just think about Joshua, who is going to succeed Moses, leading the people into the promised land. What are the signs that God gives to him? Well, the parting of the river and the crashing down of the walls of Jericho. Signs that attest to the fact that God is faithful, God is mighty. This is what he's like. He is a saving, delivering, mighty God. And that Joshua has the blessing of God, that Joshua is the messenger of God. You find that Daniel in the lion's den. Here's this man who stands for the truth of Israel's God against all the threats of the Babylonian Empire, and he ends up, of course, right for his faithfulness, being thrown into the lion's den, and God preserves him there. And King Darius runs to the lion's den in the morning to see what happened, and he got the message. Darius says in Daniel 6, "I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end." You have the same thing, of course, in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Why all these miracles in Jesus' day? Why all these wonders? Well, God is testifying once again to what he is like. And he's testifying to the veracity of his servant. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God of Scripture. God as he has revealed himself in all of his words and all of his works. And my question to you tonight would be, is this the God you believe in? I'm not just asking, is this the God you profess, but is this the God that is functioning in your life, in faith and in practice? If people watched you from day to day, would they conclude that your God is like this? Because sadly, isn't it true that the God that we profess often fails to match the God that we actually or how we live, right? So our profession and our life don't always go together. So we profess that God is great and good and glorious, and yet we so easily act as if God is an insignificant part of our life. Spend very little time with him. If someone was watching us, they wouldn't deduce easily maybe that this God is worthy of delight and love and worship. We can profess that God is faithful, and yet when life is difficult, how easily we fret and worry about our circumstances. How easily we are filled with fear about the future. The profession and the actual lived life don't always mesh. And so I just ask you, what would people assume your God is like if they watched you for a week? Well, one of the glories of God is that he does not condemn us for our functional unbelief. God remembers that we are dust, but rather he delights to continually assure us of what is true, what he actually is like. And that's one of the reasons I love this story of what God has done here for Community Presbyterian Church in this building. This is a manifestation of what God is like. Isn't that true? Couldn't we say that this is a manifestation of God's goodness, God's kindness, God's ability to provide more than we could have ever asked or imagined? If I'd stood in your pulpit 2 years ago and said, 2 years from now, you're going to be in a building of this many square feet that can seat these many people and it's going to cost you this much, you would have thought that I'd lost my mind. And yet here we are. Here we are. And God has accomplished all of it. Don't you suppose that God intends us to marvel at his goodness in this? To marvel at his kindness in this, his faithfulness, not only for Community Presbyterian, but for Grace Harbor as well. Don't you suppose that God would want us to delight in what he's like as he's revealed himself in this wonder? And wouldn't it be appropriate to deduce from this that the living God loves his church and loves this church, and that God is blessing the ministry of this church, and that God desires to magnify his glory through this church and Grace Arbor as well. We should have a sense, brothers and sisters, that we're in the presence of something unusual. This is not common. It's not common. This is an unusual work of God. God has intervened in the life of this congregation and Grace Harbor in a noteworthy manner. And my charge to you would be, don't let this be just about a building. Don't let this just be about a lucky congregation that saved a lot of money on a building. Because that would be to desecrate what has happened. That would be to completely miss the point. You see, that would be like Moses and the people celebrating their freedom and maybe high-fiving each other and never thinking about God when the whole thing was about God. So let this wonder of God move you to consider afresh what your God is actually like. These are the sorts of things he does. And let it move you to consider how to live in light of what you've seen. What difference should this wonder of God make in your own life and in the life of this congregation? Because it should make some difference, don't you think? One of the tragic truths about people like us is that we can easily forget the wonders of God. The Israelites forgot. Psalm 78, verse 11, they forgot his works and the wonders he had shown them. And then the psalmist recounts some of those things that God had done. He divided the sea and let them pass through. That's a big deal. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly from the deep. That's not common. Man ate the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. But then verse 32, in spite of all this, they still sinned. Despite his wonders, they did not believe. And folks, I just want to remind you, it's very possible for us to do the same thing. It is possible for you to move forward and to live in such a way that 20 years from now, 30 years from now, people will look at this congregation and say, they forgot. They forgot. How would you live as a church to make sure that's not what they say? How could we live as a church in light of this wonder of God that would be evidence that we remember what God has shown us, what God is like? Let me give you three. I'm sure there are more. One thing I would put before you is the idea of generosity. You've been the recipient of a magnificent gift, a wonderful gift from God, and the recipient of tremendous generosity from another congregation. We all know this building could have been sold for more than you paid for it, a lot more. You have no idea. It'd be hard to imagine what it would cost to build this today. That's just reality. But they gave it to you as a gift. And in that way, God graciously provided for you above what you could ask or imagine. And I would encourage you, Community Presbyterian, to adopt generosity then as a distinguishing value of this church. It is so common for churches to live with a scarcity mentality when it comes to finances and resources, to act as though God were a scarce God, a God who's not willing to provide abundantly. Well, you've had that unbelief shown to be magnificently untrue. God is able to provide way more abundantly than we could imagine. And so Let that confidence continue. Let this generous gift of God break you of any scarcity mentality. You don't serve a scarcity God. You don't belong to a scarcity God. You belong to a God of abundance. And He has abundantly blessed you. And so commit yourself to conspicuous generosity with each other, with the community around you. Be known as the generous church. Give as the Lord has given you. That would be one way to remember. Another mark, I think, of remembering would be expectancy. One of the weaknesses of Reformed churches, I'll speak for my own family, is the lack of expectancy. We content ourselves with going about ministry as we know it, as we can conceive it, as we're used to, with very little thought to what great thing God might desire to do through us. Let me suggest to you that God did not give you this great blessing so that you can settle for small things, for small dreams. This gift comes with a responsibility. You are stewards of this gift, not owners of it. So how will you steward it? How will you use this building, this great gift, to seek to do great things for the glory of God and the advance of His gospel? What would you wish God would do beyond what you could ask or imagine in this community as a light for the gospel and to see people drawn in great numbers to Jesus? How many children would you love to see grow up to love Jesus and commit their life to Him? How many churches would you wish could be planted? How many missionaries sent? I'm not saying you need to have specific numbers, but in light of God's great, good, generous provision, I think we should have expectancy. God has done a great thing for you. What great things could He continue to do for you? You haven't arrived. A building doesn't mean we're finally here and now we can sit back and relax and get back to business as normal. God didn't give you this building to that end for your comfort and your preferences. God gave you this building for His glory and His cause and the purposes of grace. And we would honor God as a wonder-working God to expectantly ask Him, Lord, give us more. Work your wonders again as we minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a final sign, I think, of what remembering would look like, and that would be fidelity. Generosity, expectancy, and fidelity. You've seen the goodness of God in this wonderful way. And that's just a reminder of the goodness of God revealed to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, He gave His own Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the gift of God for sinners in Jesus Christ. And this gift of a building is one reminder of that great gift. And I would encourage you then to double down on your commitment to be a church that preaches that gospel and preaches that Jesus. That you're going to commit yourself to use this building for the gospel ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that here this building will be dedicated as a place where there is continually the message of one mediator, Jesus, between God and man, one Savior of the world, one Savior of sinners, one name given among men by which men must be saved. That this building belongs to Jesus for His cause, His glory, His kingdom. In March 1861, Charles Spurgeon preached the inaugural sermon at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he began his message with this. He says, I would propose that the subject of the ministry of this house, as long as this platform shall stand, and as long as this house shall be frequented by worshipers, shall be the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that we get to dedicate this whole building? Lord Jesus, it's yours. Use it, Lord Jesus. Use it. As you move by your Spirit in us, may this be a place where Jesus Christ is made known. May it be the case that people 30 years from now, 50 years from now, will be able to say, I met Jesus in that building. I learned about Jesus in the preaching of the word from the pulpit. I learned about Jesus in the fellowship of the saints. I heard about Jesus in the prayers and the leadership and vision of the elders. This is where I came to faith. This is where I learned to walk with Jesus. That's the goal. That's the vision. May God grant it. And he certainly will as we look to him. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh God, you are a wonder-working God, and we confess our functional unbelief in so many ways, and yet, Lord, you are patient with us, and you remind us of your goodness. You have given us your very own Son. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us all the promises of the Word of God, and Lord, you give us these a noteworthy gift like this building. I just thank you so much for the way that you have honored your name in this. Thank you for Grace Harbor and the generosity that they've displayed. Thank you, Lord, for the faith of this congregation, Community Presbyterian, to step out and move forward in this way. And Lord, we pray that your good gift to them would be something that just resonates for years to come, that they would not forget what you are like as you've revealed yourself in this wonder, in this good gift. And Lord, that the generosity they've received would flow from them. And Lord, the way that you've revealed yourself to be a God who is looking with favor upon this congregation and with favor upon this ministry. Lord, that they could move forward in the great encouragement that if God is for us, who can be against us? So Lord God, bless this congregation. And use this building for the glory of our Savior. And we'll give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.